Welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. My name's Tony Lobel, and today I'm welcoming to the program Susan Booth Mack-Snipes from Stockton Springs, Maine, and that's in the USA. Susan, welcome.
Thank you, Tony. It's so good to be here.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to have you. And Susan is a Christian Science practitioner and a teacher of Christian Science. And we're going to be zeroing in today on that word science, in that phrase Christian Science. And in particular, thinking about a little phrase that comes from the book Science and Health with Key to Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, who was the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And she mentioned the word science in relation to revelation, reason, and demonstration. And now, in terms of the demonstration, Susan has some wonderful healings to share with us to illustrate what we're going to be talking about. But Susan, let's start talking about the reason and the revelation. And just generally, how do you want to introduce the theme of the science?
Well, Tony, I don't know if there's ever been a time in history where there have been more need for dependable solutions to problems. And today, though, I'd like to focus a bit on our need for dependable solutions to health problems that I've found in my study and practice of Christian Science. And yes, we're going to share some of the healings that you mentioned, but I do want to lay some groundwork based on that passage that you referred to from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And I hope you'll bear with me while I read most of that paragraph here. Mrs. Eddy has had this significant healing in 1866 of a fall, an accident that doctors have great concern will be fatal. They don't seem to have much else they can do for her. And as she's kind of moving in and out of consciousness and in great pain, she asks for her Bible. And in opening her Bible and reading a healing of Christ Jesus's, she gets a glimpse of a dependable principle of God as the divine principle, of God as all that exists, and everything as good as held in this divine principle that is God. Then she has this immediate kind of response to her health concern, and she's healed. She's able to get up and go out into the living room where others are. And she's not quite sure what has happened. And this is what she says. She says, "For 3 years after my discovery, I sought the solution of this problem of mind healing, searched the scriptures and read little else, kept aloof from society and devoted time and energies to discovering a positive rule. The search was sweet, calm and buoyant with hope, not selfish nor depressing. I knew the principle of all harmonious mind action to be God, and that cures were produced in primitive Christian healing by holy, uplifting faith. But I must know the science of this healing. And I won my way to absolute conclusions through divine revelation, reason, and demonstration." So there she is referring to this divine principle of all harmonious mind action. She knew that the healings that she had read about in the Bible must have a principle behind them, that it couldn't possibly be just sort of kind of mystical or miraculous interventions where someone called upon God in just the right way and then they got a healing, that there must be something behind it, and that that's what she had experienced in that moment. But she really wanted to understand how it could be scientifically applied. And I love this particular ordering of the scientific method that unfolded to Mary Baker Eddy. Then she won her way to these conclusions through revelation, reason, and demonstration.
Yeah, you mentioned as you were reading that passage, mind healing. And just to share with our listeners that that's using the word mind with a capital M as a synonym for God. And that's kind of an important distinction in Christian Science, isn't it?
Yes.
The healing we're about to talk about is the fruits of the divine mind, not the human mind. It's not mind over matter.
It's not a faith cure or mind over matter, right? And we're going to actually address that here a little bit in talking about revelation. Revelation and prayer relate very closely in my thought, and that revelation and prayer is actually listening to God, mind, to do the imparting, the knowing. Prayer is kind of that getting still and willingly listening to God, declaring what God knows about God's allness and how important that has become to me, not starting with the problems and trying to find solutions, but catching a glimpse of this all-in-allness that God is voicing, constantly voicing and speaking. And I think that the healings I'm going to share might kind of lend some light to how I've been making progress at seeing the allness of God. So one of the experiences was when I was clearing out a house that we were selling, and there were plywood sheets underneath the house stored under there, and I didn't have work gloves, and I was moving them and got a bunch of slivers in one of my hands. Well, I also didn't have a pair of tweezers there, and I just went on about my work thinking they're just slivers and no big deal. But the next day, there was quite a bit of pain and inflammation there in my hand. So at that point, I did just sit quietly to listen to God, that revelation of what God wanted me to know about God's allness. And it was very inspiring time. A passage from Science and Health that I'd worked with before came to thought, but it came with such freshness. It's the one where Mary Baker Eddy says that a spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. And I really understood for the first time that a spiritual idea as a compound idea of God is really a compound expression of all of God's attributes of joy, of peace, of love, of all the attributes of God. And none of those attributes had a sliver in them, nor could matter be any a part of them. And so it would be removed properly by removing it as a mistaken sense of what I was made of as God's reflection or spiritual expression or idea. And when I finished this prayer and felt really good about it, I was about to just go back to my work when I suddenly felt there was a little bit more listening to do, because I felt like there was what I could describe as an imp on my shoulder saying, yeah, but those are solid. They're matter. And they're in there, and you're this matter body, and you don't expect them to just disappear. Maybe you could accept that they will stop being inflamed and they'll work their way out and maybe more quickly, and you know that there were certain kind of things I might be able to accept, but the absolute disappearance of them, now they're solid and they're in there. And I turned on that doubting thought, that skeptical thought, with that clarity and the confidence that I do expect them to just disappear. They have been removed, corrected from thought. And that's what needs to happen here for them to disappear from my experience. So then I felt like the prayer is done and went about the rest of my work. And a couple of hours later, when I was washing my hands at the kitchen sink, I looked and there were no slivers. And I remember kind of catching my breath and looking at both hands to make sure. And I've just gained a lot of traction from that simple realization that prayer is kind of that getting still and willingly listening to God declaring God's self-awareness, what God knows about God's allness, and how important that has become to me, not starting with the problems and trying to find solutions, but kind of like you would if you had a problem, say, in your online banking account, and you actually start with the math principle and what you know to be the facts, and then you see where the error in your computations is and you reconcile to that principle. So too, in our willingness to silence all of our efforts to try to solve the problem from that human mind and to listen to God declaring that allness, the word of God. And it's kind of like what God said to Moses, I am that I am. And catching a glimpse of this all-in-allness that God is voicing, constantly voicing and speaking as this infinite principle, this context, this premise that's literally established as the science of being or existence. So prayer is what enables us to experience that revelation.
Well, supposing you're someone who's listening to this program for the first time and you don't have any familiarity with Christian Science, some of this would be a revelation in itself, that you can actually listen to God and hear God, and also that you can know what God knows. So how would you say to this listener, this is how revelation comes to you?
Yeah. Well, maybe we could use an analogy here. If it's a sunny day and the sun is shining, but you're not experiencing that, there may be kind of that opening of the blinds, or open your eyelids, even opening to it. And for me, this is spelled out so beautifully in an article by Mary Baker Eddy called The Way. It's in her work called Miscellaneous Writings. And she talks about kind of three steps that are helpful in that listening for the revelation. The first one is self-knowledge. And to me, that's, where am I still doing the chattering? Where am I still the one that thinks this is all about me, that I'm the one who has to be the source of thinking and of a life and fixing the problem? And if I can see that and be willing, then the next step is humility. Be willing to get still, to be like a child and listen to God. God is always declaring this allness, always comforting us, always loving us. That's the nature of divine mind, to always be knowing and just literally wrapping us up in that all-knowingness. So it does feel like it's about those, the willingness to kind of spot where we're still insistently reasoning from our own standpoint, and then the humility to be still, let that go, and instead listen for God. And then Mrs. Eddy talks about this infinite ocean of love as the third kind of factor, that we feel ourselves so wrapped up in that care, as Mrs. Eddy says, embosomed deep in God's dear love. So it's that sense of feeling like we're really turning humbly to God and willing to stop trying to save ourselves, be the source of a life, figure things out, even trying so hard to do God, but instead understanding our place in being is as the effect of that one infinite cause, God.
Well, share a couple more examples.
Yeah. Well, another one was kind of similar, but I was refinishing a dresser, an old dresser, and I had taken the knobs off, and in doing so and twisting them off, had kind of worn a little blister in my hand. And then I went on about my work, didn't think much about it, and was using some paint stripper. And then I was using some turpentine stuff to get the paintbrush clean, and on and on. So I was just busily doing my work, and later in the day realized that my hand was quite inflamed and swollen. And I did at this point pray for myself. And the thought that came at this point as I was listening to God was that the work I was doing was also a good idea. It was really not human labor or even about getting a dresser refinished, but about usefulness and beauty and all the qualities of God that were being expressed in the work. And I kind of saw that because I was a spiritual idea as God's idea, and because the work and activity were God's activity and really the expression of these qualities of God, we weren't harmful to each other. There was nothing poisonous or disruptive in that activity. And then as I was just quietly listening some more, something from my childhood came to thought that someone had told me, don't ever get poisonous substances in an open wound. That's really a bad thing to do. And somehow it had made sense to me as a child, and I'd taken it in kind of hook, line, and sinker. And yet already the spiritual fact was right there that no, the work is a spiritual idea. I am a spiritual idea. Everything involved was benign and useful and good. It was not harmful. And it no longer made sense to me that there was some law there, some mortal law of poison that was going to be harmful, or that was part of life to have things be useful and harmful, you know, be helpful and harmful at the same time, but that all is that expression of God's harmony and goodness. And this was one of those moments, Tony, where as I was just realizing all of that, it almost was probably not more than, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes of listening and praying, the ideas flowed and they kind of came in such an all-at-once way. And I just sat there and watched the wound close up and it was gone.
Wow, great.
It was just a wonderful moment of realization. Again, a glimpse that I draw on again and again to realize it doesn't take so much time and processes of matter, but the correction, going back to the principle and starting with God, and then the reasoning that corrects anything that's the specific lie. You know, Mrs. Eddy says God's law is in three words, I am all. And so that fact of God's allness is the law that's correcting that sense that, you know, poisons can be a problem.
That is one of my favorite passages in Mrs. Eddy's writings. My law is in three words, I am all. And this perfect law is
ever present to rebuke any claim
of any other law. So good. Yeah. And those are lovely, glorious glimpses. You call them glimpses. They're really glorious glimpses. And I think the other thing I've also found, you said early on about not starting from the problem. I think that's key as well, because sometimes you think you're praying, but actually what you're doing is building up the problem in your thought as a reality, whereas the need is to yield to a wonderful clarity that actually, if God is all and is good and is spirit, then actually this material problem is not the reality. And so instead of building it up, we're seeing right through the suggestion that we are subject to whatever it is we're struggling with.
Right. I can't quote the passage 100%, but the one where in the textbook in Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy talks about that as quackery, as starting with the problem as real, and then we're going to, you know, kind of pray it away or do something to it. And it tends to build it up as though we're the ones fixing it. Almost, I like to think this is not about a hammer. It's a flashlight. It's a revelation. It's showing us both the nothingness of the problem and the allness of God.
That's lovely. Let's just dig a tiny little bit more into that nothingness idea, because I think when we're talking about science, most people are so used to material science, as in, you know, matter is the starting point, and then you're working out rules and laws that apply to matter and what it does do and it doesn't do. And even thought is supposed to come from a material brain that in some way produces this consciousness or thought. And this is where the radical nature of Christian Science, as in the root idea that we're taking from the Bible and is explained in Science and Health with Key to Scriptures, is that because God is all, the opposite of God isn't anywhere or anything or anyone. And the understanding that God is spirit means that opposite is matter.
Right.
So the very basis of matter is a false starting point, just like we're saying the problem is a false starting point. The actual basis of the problem is it's this belief that matter is substantial.
Right.
And then spirit begins to seem very wispy, doesn't it? And
yeah.
Ephemeral.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the opposite.
It's the opposite. And I love where Mrs. Eddy just poses the self-evident question in the textbook, how can there be more than all? And it is in getting more clear about what it means for God to be all, that we can even just begin to grasp the nothingness part.
Right.
None of us are like 100% on that yet.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
But we can make progress on it. It becomes important, you know, to take the revelation and just be sure that I've truly let its implication transform my thought about the situation.
So when we're saying to take the revelation, I think that's interesting, Susan. If you think about it, we're talking about revelation, reason, and demonstration. And revelation is associated with religion, obviously, but reason and demonstration is not always associated with religious thought and religious lives in the same way. But clearly we're saying it's key. And so when we say take the revelation, what does that mean? What does reason mean in relation to revelation? How do we take it? What does reasoning include?
Well, reason is also an important part of Mary Baker Eddy's scientific method. For me, it's like a since-then process. Since God is all and God is good, then all must be good. The entire creation of God must be harmonious like God. And it also follows then that disease, accidents, inharmony of any sort have no place in God good. We can start to see that, well, we really disbelieve what the physical senses are presenting as inharmony, and we correct it with a deep spiritual perception of what is true according to the logic of what God has revealed to us as the invariable laws of God's allness. This reasoning, though, is most effective for me when it is not merely intellectual, but when it is profoundly, sacredly inspired by what I've heard straight from God about the allness of God. As with the healings I've shared, reasoning from the allness of God simply doesn't leave room for any possibility of anything ungodlike. And then the healing flows from that very naturally.
Indeed, as you said, the healing flows very naturally. Really, we're talking about that reasoning process, that spiritual reasoning process, kind of being the bridge between the revelation and the demonstration of the divine truth, of the reality of the spiritual nature of us all as God's creation. So the revelation, the reason, and the demonstration come together in that fruition of the healing, which is, you know, what we all want. We love to know that God's love can and does heal us. So we're almost at time to wrap up. Do you want to share one last healing before we go?
I would love to. I'd love to share the healing that we had with my granddaughter, Maggie, the other night. My daughter called to say that Maggie said, can we call Grammy and have her pray me? And that's what Maggie says when she's asking for Christian Science treatment to be prayed. And I was, of course, glad to do that and got up out of bed. I had already gone to sleep, but I got up and spent about 2 hours praying and listening for God's allness. Just, I love to do that with sort of no agenda to fix anything, but just to listen to the amplification of what God is showing me of what it means for God to be all. And I may take the 7 synonyms for God that are in the Christian Science textbook: principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, or the 3 omnis. I think I worked with those: omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience that night. But I had also listened to a Sentinel Watch program with Judy Wolf about numbers and that numbers don't have power over us. And part of the inspiration and the revelation that came to me that night was this kind of bowing down to numbers that we assign to a fever. Maggie was dealing with a fever, and I got a glimpse that those numbers are not powerful at all. And that was so clear to me, kind of God as Alpha and Omega, the up and the down, the in and the out, the center and circumference, that this all-in-allness just doesn't have kind of good and bad measurements, but is holding all in its harmony and perfection. So after those couple of hours, I went on to bed. And in the morning, Ginger called, my daughter called and said Maggie's still had a fever. And I'm sure I shared a few truths and said I would stick with them. But when I hung up the phone, it was that moment for me of demonstration, because it was like when you've done the math in a math problem, you don't need to do it again. You know you're going to come up with the same answer. Mm. So there was no inclination in me to so much reconsider, you know, what I needed to pray about or know. I felt it and stood with it and knew that nothing could hide that harmony from us because it was here. God had showed that beautiful sense of infinity and harmony and allness to me. And I was just going to stand with that. And later in the day, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Ginger called and said that very quickly thereafter, Maggie had been bounding about and so forth, and she had taken her temperature again at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is part of what's required at this point with COVID. So Ginger was following all the required procedures of her community to do this, and Maggie was completely free and continued to be free, and so too all the rest of the family members. So that was a recent healing that I've just cherished.
Well, those are all wonderful exemplifications of the revelation, reason, and demonstration that lead to the healing. And I think people will be able to ponder those and get great lessons from some of the ideas you shared there. Do you have any last quick thought just to wrap up and send people on their way with a conviction that they can do this too?
Yeah. I was thinking about a couple of favorite things that I think about. One is that beautiful passage from James about every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And a beautiful hymn 148 in our Christian Science hymnal says, in heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. I love these as indications of this science of what's flowing from divine principle, from God, from love, every good gift and every perfect gift. And that nothing changes as we abide in the consciousness of love, that God is loving us, even as we turn to it, to feel God's love and are willing humbly to silence all of our responsibilities and concerns and efforts to take care of ourselves and solve the problems. Just letting God love us, letting God take care of us and comfort us and heal us. Reveal this allness, this comfort and care to us, then we feel no variableness, no shadow of turning, that there's nothing but this reliable divine science that Mary Baker Eddy found and that I've enjoyed practicing in my experience, and that so many, as recorded in our Christian Science periodicals and sharing their healings, bringing out security and safety and health.
Well, thank you. And it is a science. And I'll just remind listeners, if they don't have a copy of the Bible and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures, please go to your local Christian Science reading room or seek it online. You can buy these books online and you will find the source of the science really beautifully explained in those books. And they're a study that just stay with you for life. It's so deep and so rich, and it has the fruitage that has been described in the healings we've shared today. So thank you, Susan, for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I've been talking to Susan Booth, Max Snipes, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Stockton Springs in Maine. And you've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Tony Lobel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.